Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey Johnny boy,
hey
Hi. Johnny boy, hey Johnny boy. Oh, sorry.
Oh my, this is a full opus. I love it.
Oh my. Oh dear, I do declare.
I do declare. Yes.
Oh my God.
Welcome back to another shot. How are we feeling?
I just have to get to this because that just made me think of it. I was doing my friend's podcast, Puddles, the other day. He's a comedian. And he was like, "Hey, is your last name Carpenter?" And
oh
I was
my
like,
God.
Listen up,
listen
Andrew.
To this story. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, Andrew, you and I aren't old friends, but let me tell you, I have an old friend of mine and he co-hosts a podcast with me. Yeah. And he also thought my last name was Carpenter. And I had to remind him, people don't shorten their last names.
Well, let me say for the listeners who might not know what we're talking about. And by the way, I'm an old friend, but this happened very early days, Darren.
Yeah,
let's
well,
be honest. Okay, let me at least have that defense. Darren and I met on a red carpet back in 2014, I want to say.
I think it was 14, yeah.
Yeah, I was covering for Oxygen, which was a reality network at the time. Darren was covering for Bravo, and we became instant best friends. That's basically the gist of that. I mean, by the way, Darren, thinking back to that red carpet, who would have thought that red carpet moment would become what we have become, you know?
I know. Who knew that you would become hot for Darren? You know, it's
you would cut like 10 inches of your hair off. Yeah.
Yes, I would cut 10 inches of my hair off. Yeah. 6 years later, we'd be in the middle of a global pandemic recording this remotely.
Right.
Who knew?
Who knew? But anyway, so like we became friends, and then like I was itching to do a podcast because I had just finished doing my Glee podcast called Glee Chat. And I was ready to do something new. I wanted to do like a pop culture show. And just every time I ran into you, Darren, it was like instant chemistry. Like, you know, not to toot our own horns here, but it was just like it was very clear that you would be a really great partner for me.
Thank you. That's
Thank you. And so, you know, I proposed the idea. I'll be honest, too. I don't think I've ever told you this. So this is a scoop, if you will. I totally did not expect Darren to want to work with me. only because I just assumed you were way too busy for me. You're way too fucking famous. Like, who gives a fuck about John's little idea? Not really that. I mean, I knew that I had some credentials. Let me just say that. But I don't know. You just always seem super busy. I didn't know if you had the time. But what I've learned about you over the years is that you have more hours in your day than anyone else. You are able to fit a million things into your life that I would not be able to. And that's a compliment to you. So
thank you. I know. And it feels like in quarantine, it's like, you know, because I had three offices to go to that it felt like, oh, great, I'm cutting up my commute. And now I'm busier than ever.
You're filling your commute time with other obligations. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear from you, Johnny boy, today.
Oh, wait,
is...
I'm sorry. I forgot to mention why we're talking about Carpenter.
So, oh, yes.
Sorry, I got sidetracked before we get into it. So, yes, what ended up happening is we started doing currently. which was our previous podcast. You can go listen to it while it's still available. It's like 200. What did we do? Like 200 episodes of that show before we started Martinis?
I don't even remember how many we did.
Yeah. So if you're tired of Martinis and Murder, you can go listen to that. So I did like the cover art for us and I sent it to her and it says currently a show like whatever by John Thrasher and Darren Carpenter.
Right.
Because for some reason in my head, I thought you went by Carp as like a cool little nickname, Darren Carp. Right. It's a lot easier to say than Darren Carpenter. I don't know what you literally
we don't
were.
Know.
We don't know. You wrote me back and you're like, sweetie, we need to talk. And
I was like, love the label, but right. No. I was like, you could at least get my name right.
And at that point, it had been, what, 7, 8, 9 months since we had met. So I don't know. Listen, it is what it is.
It's like when I get mail in my mailbox and I see that the address is to Mr. Darren Carp, I know that it's a piece of trash.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, unless it's from my friend Rachel, who loves to call me Mr. Darren Carp. That's like, I know it's a piece of trash. But.
Well, I feel like now everyone's going to call you Mr. Darren Carp, at least with the show.
Literally constantly.
Yeah.
But how are you, John? What's going on?
I'm great. I'm so excited, Darren, because I don't know if you heard the news, but...
What are you going to tell me? What are you going to tell me that I'm not going to care about? That's what I want
to know. That's what's about to happen. Although you might, because it's Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman is coming to theaters and HBO Max at no additional charge on Christmas Day.
Wait a minute. When you say at no additional charge.
Yes, okay.
You mean like I have HBO Max so I can just watch Wonder Woman when I don't need to do like that Mulan $30 thing for. And when we say coming to theaters, like, is that still a thing? Because everything's like shutting down again.
Well, it is in the United States, but I think maybe everywhere else, you know, it might be, you know, a possibility. I think the way Warner Brothers, which is the studio, kind of phrased it was like, go to the theaters where it was meant to be seen if it is safe where you are. Otherwise, watch it on HBO Max for free. Or not for free, but as part of your subscription. Because, with Mulan, which was a Disney property that came out on Disney Plus, there was a premium access to that where you had to pay an extra $30 to watch that movie when it was supposed to be released in theaters.
And is this the original Wonder Woman? Like, is this like...
Wonder Woman 2. It's actually called Wonder Woman 1984. I should have made that specific.
Right.
Featuring Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. And...
I still haven't seen the original.
Oh, Gal God, Gadot. Darren.
I know.
She's so beautiful. Like, literally, I'm gay.
Right. She is. And you wouldn't go gay for Gal.
She is so, classically beautiful. It's hard to, like, not look at her. She's just so pretty. So, anyway, I'm a huge comic book fan. Obviously, this is the first year since 2009, I think. There are no Marvel movies or television shows, for that matter, that are coming out. So, it's been a tough year. For me in that way.
For sure.
But I'm very excited to know that Wonder Woman will be out. The first Wonder Woman was really good. Like, really, really good. Like, I'm saying people that don't even like comic book movies were really loving that movie. And
if you're bored, watch it. Well, it was a sensation. I mean, everyone seemed to be obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to talk about, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm literally going to watch it today so I can give you my full recap next week. But I was a big Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fan, and the reunion is on HBO Max.
Is it already out?
Yes, and it came out like a day or two ago because then Will Smith talked. So remember how there were two Aunt Vivs?
Yes.
So the first Aunt Viv, Janet Hubert, I think was her name. I might be getting it wrong. But they like had a huge falling out.
She left
like due to quote unquote creative differences, whatever that means. It's like a PR answer for whatever the fuck is actually going on. But I guess Will and her reconciled at Red Table Talk, which is their Facebook watch series that Jada and their whole family does. And they reconciled and he was like, we couldn't do a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion 30 years later and not talk about like the original Aunt Viv.
Of course not.
So I reported on it today and at People, and I am just, like, I usually fucking hate reunions like that. Like,
yeah, they can be hit or miss.
They're just like, it's like of a time. Like Wet Hot American Summers, like coming out later was really, really good. And the only one I can say I'm actually definitively going to watch that I would never normally, but something intrigues me about it is Saved by the Bell on Peacock.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Just because it has the original cast or most of the original cast members too, which I love, but desperate to watch the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. I am so fucking excited.
Yeah, I had been seeing, social media ads for that, but I didn't realize it was already out. Listen, that between that and Wonder Woman, HBO Max, I'm in. You know what I'm saying? I'm in on that.
I am in.
But yes, I'm excited about the Saved by the Bell one as well on Peacock, because I was a huge Saved by the Bell fan when I was a kid, as most of us were. You may remember, Darren, on the show, I talked a lot about Zach Morris being my first crush.
Oh, I mean, Kelly Kapowski. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, I have been watching so much television, John.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you have things to get through. I just mentioned Fresh Prince. Watching a lot of reality and things.
Yeah.
You need to watch The Undoing on HBO. Like, you just need to.
The Undoing? Like, what is that Undoing about?
Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant. Oh. It's like rich New York kind of. So it's like, it's local, which is really interesting. In fact, her office or wherever she's walking around is literally two blocks from my apartment right now, where Nicole Kidman was walking. And it is like it comes out every Sunday, and I believe there's only three or four.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's four episodes. It is like monstrously good.
What is it about? Like what's the plot?
Well, it's a murder mystery, if you will. I don't know how it's going to end, if we're going to have some resolution or not.
Yeah.
Because sometimes HBO and different, you know, publications want to kind of like leave it up to the viewer. Like, this is the evidence that you're presented. Who do you think did it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it could be that, but it's really it's really a thriller, like a psychological thriller, but there's a murder mystery. And essentially a woman is murdered at this really prestigious, you know, their kid, Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman's kids go to this like really prestigious, like expensive fucking school. One of the mothers is killed, a parent at this school. She's brutally murdered. I mean, and that's the thing too. It's like, it struck home to me about Martinis and murder, because we often talk about like the different types of brutality with murder. You know, like killing is killing, but if you are, you know, smashed in the face 40 times, which is, by the way, something that our case covers on Sunday, it gives a different type of evidence than if you were just like shot once in the face.
Yeah, the intent behind that kind of a murder is very different.
Exactly.
It's basically what you're saying. Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to try to check that one out. I'm not watching this, but I wanted to ask if you are, because everybody I know is watching it. The Crown. Are you watching that?
I used to watch. I think I watched the first, don't correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say the first two seasons. I watched before Olivia Colman came in as like that next generation. And I know that this one covers Princess Diana. I think it takes place, I want to say, in like the 70s, 80s, 90s maybe. So it's
somewhere
getting closer to present day, of a time that at least I can remember, because I remember when Diana was killed. But
yeah, me too.
To be honest with you, and like, I know that it is an expensive production. I know that it's amazing. One of the things that I loved about it was like, you could wiki it in real time. Like, these were real things that happening to the royal family. And it was like, she's still around. But I kind of kept falling asleep.
Yeah, I've heard that about it. I've heard that it's amazing, but that it's not something you're going to want to like...
It's very British.
Gather the family around.
And,
but I agree. I am so fascinated by Queen Elizabeth II and just the royal line. You know, I just have a very basic fascination, like a lot of us do, with how that kind of tradition even works and all the different things about it. So I am interested. I don't know that I'm going to find myself watching it, but I just feel like I'm the only one that doesn't watch it. So I just wanted to ask if you do.
No, and you probably should. I mean, listen, sometimes I watch things just because I'm like, what the fuck is the buzz about this?
Right,
like,
me too.
In fact, one of the things that I really want to watch that's like this for me, I just haven't had the chance to, is Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, I've heard about this, but I'm forgetting.
Yeah. Well, as I'm going to read you the direct quote from my brother last night, because he started watching it with his girlfriend, and I thought it was funny, because I literally, when I stay with my brother in LA, I make him, because I have to watch reality TV for my job, I make him watch it with me, and I'm like, okay, you're going to watch The Bachelorette, and you're going to watch Big Brother, and he's like, I will kill you as my sister if you make me do this.
Oh my God.
He said, he's like, the Love on the Spectrum, he goes, it's like The Bachelor, but with smarter, kinder, better people. And I was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
How is The Bachelor? Are you still watching it? Is it still on? Are you still obsessed?
Obsessed. Yes,
obsessed,
still watching.
Yeah.
This was a very interesting season so far, just because we had a Bachelorette start the season. Obviously, COVID, you know, was rougher for a number of reasons, but the first Bachelorette, Claire, essentially, I won't bore you with the details, but she leaves, like, she meets basically the love of her life. Like, he walks out of the limo and she's like, that's my husband, and only wants to spend time with him. So, like, three episodes in, she leaves with him. Like, just leaves.
Oh, my God.
Leaves. And so they have to call in I'll put it this way. They have ceremonies, you know, when you get roses, right? Like, you've seen this, you know, like,
yeah, you
John, will
given
you
me
accept
one
my
yet,
rose,
but,
you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Claire, the first bachelorette, literally didn't want to get to know any of the guys except this guy Dale, who she's now engaged to. That one rose ceremony, she gave herself a rose, which is just so choice. Like, it was just like literally the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
So now a new bachelorette came in, the one I originally wanted, and she's also a diverse cast member, which is also pretty fantastic. But her name is Tayshia, and she is beautiful and incredible and everything we needed in the Bachelorette franchise. So
I'm
very excited.
So what happens? It's Bachelorette, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah,
it's
Bachelorette is on right now. I think Bachelor premieres in a few weeks, though.
I see. And then, so she just leaves with this Dale guy, and then in the same season, they just bring another one in?
Yeah. Oh. And they're, like, quarantined at this La Quinta in Palm Springs. And
oh, God.
They basically said, I mean, who knows the real story here, but I can only deduce from what, like, producers have said and what I have read is, like, they started to see that they couldn't make a whole season out of this because she was so laser-focused on Dale. Like, she didn't want to be with anybody else but him.
And do you see that play out? Is she like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me. To other people?
Kind of. Like, not as in, like, the way, not as in, like, as blunt as I'm basically saying it to you. But yes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Okay.
You can tell she's just so uninterested and only wants to hang out with Dale. And to be honest with you, as much as we want Claire to find love, and obviously I want her to do that. Like, that's why you go on the show. It's boring to watch. Like, no one wants to see that because you want to see the rift with all the other men. And so.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, too. Like, what is the purpose of the show?
What's, like, the stated purpose? Or, like, what's
well, like,
the real
purpose?
Like,
what happens? Well, I guess both. I mean, what is there to tune into specifically? Like, people fall in love? Like, is that what's really happening here?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, you know, 25 men or women. They haven't had any gay people on yet, so consider it just heterosexual. It's, like, 25 men or women, depending on if it's the Bachelor, Bachelorette, vying for the eyes of the lead, you know, the Bachelor, Bachelorette, whoever that is.
Okay.
And
yeah.
You know, they go on little competitions. You can get more time with them, and you're forming relationships, and people get eliminated. I mean, the stated reason is honestly to find love in this unconventional type of format, right?
Right.
And, like,
okay.
There have been very successful couples. Like, I can name probably 5 or 6 successful couples that have been together for a long time and have children from the show.
Wow. Okay.
Which isn't
that
bad, but it's also been, like, 30 seasons. So, like, the life
it has.
Yeah, it's been like 26 or something like that.
Oh, I had no idea it was that long.
There's been more Bachelor than Bachelorette because Bachelorette is technically kind of like a spinoff of it because it wasn't originally that. But I mean, listen, the reason people join the show, which is also a storyline every year, is to grow their social media following, is to like get famous on their own, you know? And I think
a lot
of people.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And a lot of people, you can tell who are there to kind of enjoy the experience and see what happens, which would be me. Like, I'd be like, all right, I'm along for the ride versus someone who is literally because is literally saying what they want to say because they want to become the next Bachelor. You know, they want their chance at Spotlight. And you can always tell those people, and it comes across just so inauthentic and, you know.
That's what I would be worried about if I were to watch it, that it's too fake. But maybe
not
fake. I
mean, it is, but that's why, like, I'm watching it ironically. You know, you're going on a first date with someone, you're like, I just want to tell you that I was, you know, adopted and I had an abortion and a miscarriage and my father beat me. It's like 7 different things. And it's like, wow, you know, I really could open up to that person on our first date. It's like, yeah, because you're forced to with all the fucking cameras around. Like, no shit, you know?
It reminds me, I was listening to Howard Stern the other day and he watches it religiously too. He's a huge Bachelor and Bachelorette fan.
Because he's smart.
And he played a clip where I guess the Bachelorette was there and she was meeting a guy and she asked him what he was most interested in about her. And he basically was very straightforward. He's like, well, you know, I just met you. I really am looking forward to getting to know you. And she got so offended because she was saying that She basically was like, well, that's a really weird thing to say. She was like, most people say, like, they like to get to know my style or my personality. Like, like, why can't you say something like that? Basically trying to say, like, no, I do want to get to know. I want to get to know all those things about you. I don't know anything about you yet. And she was like, well, most guys tell me, like, they think I'm, like, really pretty. And, like, they really want to, like, get to know my looks. Or it was just, like, she was not getting it. And he was like,
no, right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, like, so.
I mean, listen, I think right now, like, I was just watching actually this interview between Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek and Jimmy Fallon. And Dan was basically saying, he's like, I kind of watched all the TV I could possibly watch in quarantine. And that left me with reality TV. And he's like, and I, you know, people shit on that genre all the time. Like, I think that in the industry, you know, there's a reason that there's not a lot of Emmy categories for it. And like, it's kind of this underdog in genres of television, you know? It's not class or anything like that. But in my opinion, I think reality TV is the best form of television because you don't script it. And this is real life. And those people are super relatable. And that's really why I like it. And so Dan Levy was like, so I finally got to reality TV. And he's like, and I got to say, it is the best genre of television. And Fallon was like, well, what did you start with? He's like, I started with The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I ended with Below Deck Mediterranean. And my girlfriend is the showrunner of Below Deck Med, so she sends you this clip, and I was like, holy shit. And, like, Fallon and Dan are literally, like, intellectualizing what happens in reality TV. And that's really what I do with The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Like, it's fun to watch and understand the human psyche about these things. But I'm not, like, oh man, they didn't fall in love. Like, how could, like, I'm not believing that bullshit. Like, I watch it for the funniness of it.
I don't see you kind of breaking down the intellectual parts of The Bachelorette. Let's put it that way.
No, I only break down the intellectual. I try and intellectualize it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But nothing really comes
Nothing comes of it.
Yeah, nothing comes of it.
I didn't know, was my child dead? Is my child passed out?
I just kept saying, please be okay, please be okay.
You rush your child to the hospital.
A woman came in, normal clothes. We get down the hallway, she closes the door. They were accusing me of child abuse.
And that's when the real nightmare begins.
Hey, calm down.
No, it's my children! I can't calm down!
Do No Harm, a new podcast series from NBC News and Wondery. New episodes every Tuesday. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You know, next week is Thanksgiving, obviously. It's in a week from today, in
fact.
I know COVID's breaking out, all that stuff. And I know that you're home in Maryland, literally isolating your entire life because you live by yourself in this house, but are you seeing family? Like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, frankly, just to share with you and with everyone here, you know, my grandparents live down the street, my aunt and my uncle and my cousin, who's 10 years old, also live down the street. So, you know, I'm in this haunted house by myself, which is fine. And I see them. Yeah, I drive by, we wave, we'll talk from a distance. You know, overall, that's pretty safe. But we've already made plans to cancel our normal Thanksgiving dinner this year because, again, like, you know, even my aunt's a little bit older. My grandparents are in their 80s.
Sure.
You know, and especially, frankly, the town and the county where I'm living at the moment is getting hit very hard.
Right.
So we made the decision that we won't be together under the same roof, but my aunt is making a huge dinner. She's going to put it in a little doggy bag or whatever, a little like to-go bag, and we can drive by and pick them up at a distance. So I'm kind of excited about that because at least we do get to still eat dinner just separately. But honestly, Thanksgiving dinner, like, it's a big fun thing, but it's not something to like risk accidentally killing family members over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love turkey and stuffing, you know?
Yeah,
but if the,
right,
if the guy
exactly.
was turkey and stuffing over my a death of a family member, I gotta weigh that. At least I gotta sleep on the decision, you know what I mean?
Right?
Like, how juicy is the turkey? How good is the stuffing? You know?
Stuffing, exactly.
Is
there pumpkin pie? Yeah.
I don't want to make light of it because, you know, listen,
no,
holidays
I know,
are really,
true.
Really hard, and it's kind of at the end of the year where things are winding down anyway, and I think now more than ever people, well, I guess it depends politically, people want to be around their families, you know, and for me, so I've been in New York City. I came home from LA last weekend, and so I'm getting COVID tested Tuesday before Thanksgiving because I wanted to give it enough time that, you know, if the virus incubated in some sort of way, that it should have shown up, like, since I flew. Because I got tested in LA, and I was negative. And so it was basically, like, flying, and then I've been in my apartment ever since. So I'm just giving it a little time to...
Yeah.
So I'm getting tested on Tuesday, and then this is the first Thanksgiving I've ever had in my entire 32 years of living where my grandfather is not alive and not going to be there. And it, like, it's just so sad for me. Like, you know, and listen, people are going through so much. Like, I'm not trying to, like, garner sympathy, but it definitely, like, makes me think a lot about it.
Of course.
And every year we go to my aunt's house, and usually there's like 30 of us. Like, my dad has a fairly big side of his family, but this year we obviously aren't doing that, and that's canceled. And so I am going to just have dinner with my parents. They set up this really long table that I can sit at the end of. supposing I
that's
get tested
cool,
negative. Obviously, if I test positive, I will not be going home.
Not be going,
for
right,
sure.
Right.
But even the hope and the expectation is to test negative just because I – don't feel symptoms. I've tested negative throughout the summer. That's just my reasonable expectation here. I'm going to go home to be with them. It's just going to be the three of us. And my brother doesn't
sounds
come
safe.
Home for Thanksgiving anyway. But my parents really wanted me to come home. And they asked that I just get COVID tested and then we'll socially distance, which is completely fine. Obviously, I was going to do that.
Yeah.
So, and I honestly recommend doing either that or nothing. Like, if you're not going to take the precaution, I think, of what I am doing, which is literally it's three of us, definitely social distancing, and literally having a negative COVID test in order for me to go. And by the way, I live 12 miles from my parents,
I was just gonna
so
say,
I don't have to go on public transportation.
That's like, the bigger thing.
That's
the transportation
only thing
part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a transport, which is why when I flew last week, I didn't want to get tested early on because
what if
it incubated a few days later? So I was like, let me give it a week and a half and I want to do it up until basically Thanksgiving. So I scheduled it for Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I honestly think like the way that I'm doing it is in order to see your family is probably the safest way in theory to do it. But I don't recommend doing anything other than what I'm doing unless you're not going to see anyone.
No, absolutely. I agree. And yeah, it is about a lot of it is the transportation thing for me. It's like, don't do that if you don't have to do that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And like, listen, it's a shitty year. And so I think, you know, we can all kind of cough it up to it just being like, you know, take an L, as they say, for this year. That it's just like, you know, this is the first year without my grandfather. This is the first year we're not going over to my family. It's like a tradition we've been doing every year. Most people, you know, these holidays are very traditional. But I think, you know, in spite of all that, you know, the numbers are only going to go down as responsible as the individuals and the people are.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
You know, and so we want to see that so that way next year, even though we'll probably have a vaccine that's fully implemented into public, God willing, because I know that vaccine is looking pretty good. I just don't know when it'll be implemented into general public. It's like we can pick it back up next year. You know,
yeah,
in order
definitely.
To have that, we need to be smart now.
You know what? Let's have two Thanksgivings next year. How about that?
Mama having three. Mama loves her stuffing, people.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Darren, stay safe. Have a delicious Thanksgiving next week. I'm sure we'll chat again. With cases spiking again, though, like we were just saying, please, everyone, be very careful. Wear a mask, socially distance. Do the right thing. That's all you have to do.
Do the right thing, people. Yes. And John, have a happy, happy Turkey Day. Call me if you need a little love.
I will. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.